A strange pattern emerged in the early 2000s that would reshape global commerce. Online retailers noticed something peculiar. Their profits weren't coming from where they expected. While traditional stores lived and died by bestsellers, digital marketplaces were making serious money from products most people had never heard of. An obscure documentary here, a niche album there, individually insignificant, but collectively massive. This wasn't a fluke. It was the future announcing itself quietly, almost politely, before turning the entire economy upside down. The transformation challenged everything we thought we knew about supply and demand. For a century, our cultural landscape had been dominated by blockbusters because economics demanded it. Shelf space cost money, distribution networks were expensive. Only products that could attract massive audiences made financial sense. But what happens when those constraints vanish? When storing a million products costs the same as storing 100? When anyone can reach a global audience from their bedroom? The answer redefined modern business, spawned entire industries, and made the impossible not just possible, but profitable. Picture a Walmart music section, 4,500 carefully curated CDs. Now imagine a digital service, over 4 million tracks, each one a database entry away. This isn't just scale, it's a fundamental shift. For most of the 20th century, hits were economically necessary. In 2000, NSYNC's No Strings Attached sold 2.4 million copies in its first week. The industry had perfected a formula: attractive performers, massive marketing, controlled radio playlists. Everything optimized for blockbusters, because only blockbusters justified production and distribution costs. Yet this triumph marked the beginning of collapse. By 2005, music sales plummeted 25%. Hit albums fell harder, down 60% between 2001 and 2007. Technology democratized creation and distribution, eliminating the bottlenecks that had controlled what reached audiences. Without physical constraints, demand spread out. At Walmart, the top 1,000 albums represented nearly 80% of sales. Online, those same titles accounted for less than a third. Half of all online purchases came from outside the top 5,000, products traditional stores didn't carry. Consumer demand wasn't a steep cliff dropping after a few hits. It was a curve, with a prominent head, gradually sloping into an incredibly long tail. While each niche product sold modestly, collectively, they rivaled or exceeded the hits. We'd been mistaking the limits of distribution for the limits of desire. Two forces converged to create new markets: democratized production and distribution. Consumer technology replaced expensive professional equipment. Hobbyist astronomers now contribute scientific discoveries. Bedroom producers create chart-topping hits. The Lonely Island exemplifies this shift. Facing Hollywood's barriers, Andy Samberg and friends posted videos online. Viral popularity led to their SNL hiring, where Lazy Sunday became one of the show's most popular segments, finding its largest audience through online sharing, not broadcast. Wikipedia represents the most audacious example. In 2001, Jimmy Wales launched an experiment, building a massive encyclopedia through collective amateur expertise. By 2005, this nonprofit offered over 2 million English articles versus Britannica's 120,000. Wikipedia's genius lies in the Edit This Page button, transforming passive readers into active contributors who correct errors immediately. This pattern extends across media. GarageBand enables professional quality recordings without studios. Desktop editing gives filmmakers Hollywood-level tools. Blogging platforms let anyone publish to millions. The barrier shifted from earn the right to what's stopping you? What drives these creators? Often not profit. The long tail represents varied motivations: expression, experimentation, reputation. Their currency is attention, convertible into opportunities, like jobs or audiences. Of 1.2 million books tracked by Nielsen BookScan in 2004, 950,000 sold fewer than 99 copies. Yet profitless publishing remains valuable. Books advertise their authors or simply leave a mark. The second force, democratized distribution, collapsed delivery costs. Digital eliminated physical inventory, retail space, and geographic limits. Alibris transformed the fragmented used book market by aggregating thousands of independent bookstores into one searchable database, making out of print nearly obsolete. Aggregators thrive on a simple principle. Lower selling costs means selling more items. By eliminating distribution barriers, they connect products with audiences. Google aggregates advertisers, iTunes music, Netflix movies, eBay physical goods, Wikipedia knowledge. These fall into two categories. Hybrid retailers like Amazon CD Business vastly expand inventory beyond physical stores but face inherent limits: storage requirements, inventory risk, shipping costs, and bundling constraints. Amazon stocks 2 million CD titles, only a quarter of available music. Pure digital retailers reach the entire tail because products exist as database entries costing effectively nothing. Amazon's evolution demonstrates this. From centralized distribution to consignment programs, partnerships with major retailers, the marketplace enabling 100,000-plus third-party sellers, and finally print-on-demand eliminating inventory until purchase. The ultimate cost reduction eliminates physical goods entirely. Pure digital aggregators store inventory on hard drives and deliver via broadband, with marginal costs approaching zero and royalties paid only when sold. Bestsellers and obscure titles become identical database entries with identical economics. iTunes and Rhapsody exemplify this with music, while video, games, ebooks, audiobooks, and software all migrate from physical to digital distribution. The third force connecting supply with demand might be the most powerful. Without effective filters, unlimited choice becomes paralyzing noise. We're entering the recommendation age, where filters sift through vast choices to present what's right for you. Google ranks search results. Rhapsody highlights most popular tracks and subgenres. Navigation isn't new. American Airlines' Sabre system, Yellow Pages, and TV Guide all created value by helping people navigate complexity. What's new is their sophistication and power. Good filters drive demand down the tail by revealing niche products that appeal more than lowest common denominator hits. A typical music user navigates through taxonomies, bestseller lists, pattern matching, similar to features, editorial recommendations, collaborative filtering, people who liked this also liked, and curated playlists. Each takes you deeper through a different path. Traditional top 10 lists reveal their meaninglessness in unlimited markets. Mainstream charts lump disparate genres together randomly, while niche-specific lists like Rhapsody's Afro-Cuban Jazz Top 10 provide genuinely useful guidance. These niche rankings create niche busters, artists who dominate their categories without being mainstream hits. Traditional markets rely on pre-filters, gatekeepers, who predict what will sell before products reach the market. Unlimited markets use post-filters that measure rather than predict taste. Instead of lumping consumers into predetermined categories, they treat people as individuals who reveal preferences through behavior. Rather than keeping things off the market, post-filters create demand by stimulating interest. Blogs have become powerful recommendation sources. What they lack in polish, they compensate through credibility and trusted personal voices. We're witnessing a fundamental shift from scarcity to abundance economics. When digital goods have marginal costs approaching zero, the rules change completely. In 1897, Vilfredo Pareto discovered that wealth distribution followed a predictable pattern. Roughly 20% of people owned 80% of wealth. This 80-20 rule appears everywhere, from word frequency to city populations. These power law distributions emerge when three conditions exist: variety, inequality in quality, and network effects that amplify differences. The long tail is a power law that isn't artificially cut off by distribution bottlenecks. While the 80-20 rule suggests focusing only on bestsellers, abundance economics argues for carrying everything, since digital inventory costs are minimal. Movie theaters can only profitably show about 100 films annually, though thousands are produced. Alternative channels like DVD and streaming create viable markets for these previously invisible works. Three aspects shift demand from hits to niches: greater variety, lower search costs, and risk-free sampling. MIT research found niche music albums sell twice as well online, while niche DVDs sell three times better. Offline, the top 1,000 albums make up nearly 80% of sales. Online, they account for less than a third. Power law distributions are fractal. They remain power laws at every scale. The long tail of music contains thousands of mini tails, each representing a genre micro-market with its own head and tail. The most popular artist in a niche genre might dominate that category without becoming a mainstream hit. Popularity exists at multiple scales, and ruling a clique doesn't make you the homecoming queen. We're shifting from mass culture to massively parallel culture, where each person belongs to multiple overlapping tribes simultaneously. Internet phenomena that seem ubiquitous to some remain completely unknown to others, even within the same workplace. Everyone goes niche in some aspect of their lives, following enthusiasms deeper than ever before. Human identity has always varied widely, but only now can we act on these differences, reforming into thousands of interest-based tribes connected by shared passions rather than geography. This isn't the end of mainstream culture, but a rebalancing, an evolution from an or era, hits or niches, to an and era, hits and niches. Mass culture will simply become less mass, while niche culture becomes less obscure. Once, newspapers derived power from controlling production, but when news moved to screens, anyone with a laptop gained the power of the press. Bloggers often match journalists in expertise and writing quality while publishing faster, with better error correction, millions of specialists pooling information at electronic speed. Critics worry online customization creates echo chambers, but evidence suggests the opposite. Recommendation systems encourage exploration. Netflix users become wildly diverse in viewing habits when given access to tens of thousands of titles. While mass culture may fade, common culture will not. We'll still share culture with others, just not with everyone. The future isn't isolation, it's finding your people, wherever they are. In a world that once forced us to watch the same three TV channels, we've discovered something profound. Human desire is far more diverse, more wonderfully weird than any gatekeeper imagined. The long tail isn't just about economics. It's about finally having the freedom to be exactly who we are.